everybody, and welcome to the second edition of the Inch Podcast. We are back here live on your iPod or on your computer, ready to look around the college hockey world and take a look at what we've seen this past week and what we can see looking forward. We've got a distinguished panel with us here. My name's Nate Yule. I'm joined by Mike Eidelbus, who is my co-editor on Inside College Hockey. We've got Joe Gladyshevsky, who covers the ECACHL for us, and Thomas Baldwin, our new CHA correspondent. Welcome, everybody, and we're going to kick this off right away with the first question that we had last week as well. We looked around, we did the Inch Power Rankings. What was the toughest team to figure out where they fit at this time of year? Mike, what do you have the toughest time figuring out?
All of them? Is that an option? I mean, look at what happened last weekend around the nation. Denver goes to Maine and loses two. Minnesota struggles a little bit at home with Alaska Fairbanks, and New Hampshire loses at Nebraska Omaha, and Boston College loses at Michigan. Although, that's hardly a bad loss, and not that the other ones were, but. I think we run into this problem every year that you kind of have, you look at the teams on paper and you kind of get a feeling, well, you fit the guys in and, they've got some good guys here and this team, maybe they don't have that good of a roster, but and you kind of rank them on paper, but then you get out there and, it takes time for some teams to come together. And, I think we're just seeing a little bit of that feeling out process right now. And, you look at the changes that we've had between our first rankings, our preseason rankings, and this week, and it's been a little volatile. But I have a hunch that as the season goes on, our weekly rankings are going to end up looking more like the preseason rankings as things shake out and teams kind of settle down and get a feel for what's going on.
Joe, you were pumping the tires of some of the undefeated teams. Kind of take us through your thought process there, and what are you pushing for when you're looking at these rankings?
Well, I like undefeated teams because, a team like Michigan State compared to North Dakota, they beat them, and North Dakota got two wins while Michigan State was idle. I don't know that State should be punished, and that's just one example. Vermont went out and won two games, and sure, maybe their competition wasn't in Michigan or Boston College or Maine or Denver, but they're playing against, schools that offer 19 scholarships and watch videotape and practice and lift weights in the off season. It doesn't matter who's in front of you, you got to go out and win. And that's why I kind of, pushed for the undefeateds to maybe climb a little higher in the rankings. And to follow up on what Mike was saying a second ago, past performance is not all the time indicative of future results. We had Minnesota a little higher than the actual polls did, but that's because we think that they probably are going to end up in that top five bracket before too long and certainly by the end of the season.
The Gophers, to me, are toughest team to rank because I didn't think they necessarily played badly. Although, as we noted in the power rankings, they easily could have gotten swept in that series. They actually scored the game-tying goal on a play that should have been whistled dead on a Gopher penalty from what I saw. And the people that look at those scores though and say, geez, they go 0-1-1 against Alaska Fairbanks, they're missing out on a very good Alaska Fairbanks team, two really good games, and I didn't think Minnesota played that poorly. I think they'll be fine moving on. Jumping back, Joe, to talking about undefeateds, Thomas, you're covering a pretty good undefeated there in Bemidji State. Do we have those guys ranked in the right spot, or should they be a little higher?
I concur with the last statement. I mean, I think it is a long season. It's still early, and I think teams are still filling out their respective rosters, but feeling out what personnel they have. And Bemidji on paper, should be up there, I guess, 4-0 against two pretty decent WCHA clubs, and. Again, on paper, at this early juncture, I would think their ranking would be warranted. Now, in December and January, that could change. But from what little I've heard and seen so far, I think that would, 14th, I think they are, I believe, is pretty accurate. But again, it's still awful early.
So
So
I think that that's one of the hardest teams. Sorry to interrupt, but you know, you look at a team like Bemidji, and I think we kind of got a sense of the kind of team they were from what little bit most of us saw of them last year in the NCAA tournament, where they gave Denver a pretty good run in the first round. But you know, that's you kind of wonder in the back of your mind, you know, are these guys for real? You know, is this something that they can keep up? Well, I think that one thing that, you know, you kind of have to give them maybe a little bit of the benefit of the doubt is that, you know, they were there last year. They won the CHA regular season. They won the playoff championship, went to the NCAA tournament, battled hard there. You know, these guys know how to win. This is still, you know, they lost some key guys, but this is still a pretty good team. And, you know, you throw their goaltending, especially Matt Climie, up against any of their opponents, and you look at the schedule that they have the rest of the way, and, you know, they have, I'd say, in just about every game, except for maybe one or two, they'll have the advantage in goal with Climie, and, you know, that can be a great equalizer.
Absolutely. They have another kid, too, who I believe played the Saturday night game against Minnesota Duluth. Who played pretty well as well. And, again, it's still early, but from what little I've seen, they have two good goalkeepers, and that's, you know, I hate to use the word luxury, but that is a nice thing to have for Bemidji State. And last year they were just so totally focused. It was like, you know, they had lost the thing to Niagara the year before and were so totally focused. And so totally disciplined, and it'll be interesting to see if they can maintain that, you know, voracious appetite, so to speak, for lack of a better term, to not only win the CHA, but you know, get the NCAA bid and maybe do some damage. They almost did last year against Denver, as we all know. We'll see.
Joe, you had a great point talking about these guys Sunday night when we were doing the rankings. Their Saturday night scores are real impressive. They've come out, played some close games on Fridays, and really they've won 5-1 and 7-3 on Saturday nights against Duluth and Minnesota State Mankato. And maybe that says a little bit more about a team. You're not sneaking up on anybody when you're winning 5-1 and 7-3 on Saturday night.
Right, that's it's an impressive scoreline, and Thomas, it was Lane Sedevi who got the Saturday night win, the 5-1 win over Minnesota Duluth, who I guess will be probably considered to be Climie's backup, but he did get that big win early in the season in goal for the Beavers, and I think it says something about conditioning, and I think it says something about focus. You know, for the Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs or and Minnesota State Mankato, you know, oh man, we lost to these guys on Friday, and if there is any pervasive, that's just a College Hockey America team. You know, then to get smacked on Saturday, you know they aren't overlooking a team that just beat them 24 hours earlier.
Absolutely.
So that's a pretty strong statement, I think, by the Beavers.
Hey, before we turn this into the Bemidji podcast, I want to just interrupt real quick.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of other good teams out there.
There are, and it's still early. And we did promise, we fielded some questions on the show on ESPN.com last Thursday. It took a few more than we had time to answer, and we promised we'd fill in the podcast with some of these. So let me throw some of these out to you guys. We've got a question from a user named Sherpa. Which current assistant coaches are the best candidates to become head coaches in the next year? And who would you want to revitalize your program? Sherpa's writing in from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Don't read anything into that at all.
But, I think you can read everything into that.
Mike, who would you recommend Sherpa hire for the Broncos next year?
Well, considering they're just coming off a loss to Robert Morris, a team that lost to the Penn State club team, I think it was about a week or 2 weeks ago, there's a couple names, I think, that really stand out in my mind. And, you know, I'm going to look at this from a little bit more of a Western bent here. Casey Jones at Ohio State is a guy that often his name comes up when there are openings. He has been at Ohio State for a while and really has been a key in the rebirth of that program. He is, you know, a master recruiter. And he's tireless in that respect as well. I mean, he's crisscrossing the continent just about 12 months out of the year, you know, as a lot of coaches are. But he's really shown a knack for bringing in guys that maybe aren't the, you know, they'll bring in their one or two really blue-chip recruits, but the guys that they fill in the cracks with, you know, I think of a guy like Rod Pelley, who maybe wasn't that highly regarded coming out of junior, but he's a big kid and he's turned into a heck of a player. He's a name that really, from the CCHA at least, pops into my head. And the other name that I think of is a good friend of mine out of Denver, Seth Appert, and actually Steve Miller as well. Both terrific recruiters, and they've seen what it takes to win, and they know what it takes to win, and they've worked for, I think, a great teacher in George Gwozdecki, who, you know, he's a guy that does things the right way, and you know, he doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low, it's business as usual, and I think that's one thing that people who come in contact with the Pioneer program, as we have over the past couple of years in the NCAA tournament, really marvel at just kind of how, you know, regardless of how big the stage is or how bright the lights are, they're the same team, whether it's the practice or whether it's the championship game. It's the same old Pioneers.
I'll turn east a little bit, Joe. How would you feel that answer, that question?
One guy who's had a lot of college and pro experience is associate head coach at Clarkson, Greg Drexel, and he's also been a finalist for some of the other openings that had been going on around college hockey and the East. He's assistant at Miami and Denver and Clarkson, and spent a lot of time in the Los Angeles Kings organization, and was a very good player at Colgate. So he's seen a lot of different perspectives, and he brings a more broad background to things. And two guys that you might want to keep an eye on, I know we're not specific to Western Michigan here, but Mike Schaefer's assistants at Cornell, Scott Garrow and Brent Brecky, both played for the Broncos. And obviously Cornell is a winning and successful program, so as soon as that job comes open, if it does, I'm sure they would be very, very interested.
Thomas, you have some names that spring to mind as well, I bet?
Well, I mentioned Glenn Tamaris earlier. I don't know how serious a candidate he is. I've just known him for a long time, and he seems to be hungering for the elusive Division I opportunity. But
Glenn is the Potsdam coach, if I
correct. And those jobs, Division I jobs, are kind of hard to get. Rare, you know, not too many openings, and we'll see what happens. That's one name that comes to mind, you know, this early in the season, and you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens, what jobs open up, and when and if.
Yeah, we're still a long way. Feels like we're just talking about hires recently, so we're a long ways away from some openings. But you know, you look around and you see Mark Dennehy at Merrimack, and you know, Brad Smith at Canisius, and you see a lot of successful assistants moving up to those head jobs. And that was a good question for Mr. Sherpa to bounce off us. I'll throw out a Hockey East name as David Quinn. You wonder if David is in that mix for Jack Parker's heir at BU, and he has to certainly be considered, but he would be an excellent head coaching candidate coming as an assistant in that Terrier program. Bounce another quick one off you guys from the show. Somebody asking, this comes from Minneapolis, and give us your opinion on the strongest conference this year. This was written last Thursday. Remember, seems obvious it is the WCHA. Any takers on that after the weekend we just saw?
Well, I think that from top to bottom, yeah, I think it is the WCHA, but, you know, you look after last week, and maybe it isn't that clear-cut. But that said, I think there's no question that the WCHA is really the best conference. You know, the WCHA fans are really proud of you know, having all four teams in the Frozen Four last year, but you know, and they're taking a lot of pride also in I guess the strength of their conference, at least the way they see it this year. But that said, I just like to remind people that this is all cyclical. You know, the WCHA had obviously a great year last year. They brought in a lot of great recruits this year. But, you know, kids start seeing that. They say, oh, boy, look at, you know, North Dakota's got 8 sophomores and freshman forwards. You know, I'm not going to go to North Dakota. I'm going to go to Boston College. You know, this whole thing is cyclical. It's going to level out eventually, and, you know, it's just a matter before the pendulum swings to the other side. So WCHA people, you've got the crown for now. Enjoy it, but it's going to balance out. Don't worry.
Joe, your conference has its best teams still yet to play, right?
We have all the teams yet to play. at least the 6 Ivies, but they get going with some exhibition play this weekend, and their season starts in full on the 28th and 29th. A comment that I made actually during the show last week that I'll reiterate, you know, there's a lot of talk about the WCHA, and there are excellent programs there and strong tradition, and they had success, but a lot of people are hung up on this Frozen Four thing, and they're 3 bounces away from having 1 team in the Frozen Four. Denver won an overtime game against Bemidji State. Minnesota won 2 overtime games, both on home ice, you know, and Colorado College was in a dogfight with Colgate and had to come back to beat Michigan. You know, it wasn't like they were blowing everybody out. You know, we could have had Cornell, Michigan, and New Hampshire or Bemidji, you know, in that Frozen Four. So I want people to keep that in mind. Things went awfully well for the WCHA in last year's tournament.
It's true, very true.
Colgate and Cornell.
Well, hey,
Cornell in the Frozen.
Hey, they were almost there.
Right.
Almost there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's as we near wrapping this up, guys. Let's bounce around the room here and get some final thoughts. Just give us a something you've seen, something you're looking forward to, anything like that, and. Thomas, why don't we start with you?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see. Again, I go back to the CHA. That's the only conference that I follow very closely so far. I guess Niagara plays Western Michigan on Saturday evening. I think that'll be interesting. Another non-conference opponent for them. They've done pretty well so far, 2-1. And I believe another interesting one in a couple weeks from now is I don't think the two teams have played in quite a while. It's not an earth-shattering matchup, is that St. Lawrence is playing RIT, believe it or not, Rochester Institute of Technology in RIT. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, 2 programs that I don't know how often they've played, but that'll be something, I think, on October 28th and 29th. And that's the exciting part of this time of the year, is that the other guys alluded to it earlier, is some of these non-conference matchups and comparisons, you know, WCHA against Hockey East and whatever. And unfortunately, we don't see it later in the year because all the teams are booked up with conference play. But that's what's so fascinating about this early juncture of the season, is you get to see some matchups, you know, that you don't normally see. And, you know, I think the college hockey fans should really enjoy this next 2-3 weeks before they get into the conference stuff.
I agree with you 100%, Thomas. And one of the things, you know, we were just comparing conferences and the strength of conferences. One of the things that I always treasure is just looking at this game on a national basis and enjoying it for those non-conference games and things like that. I'm going to now completely contradict myself with my final thought, and I'm just going to give a little praise to the CCHA for scheduling Michigan State to kick off the conference season this weekend. And it's one of those games, you know, you look at and it doesn't matter what time of year you play it, it's always going to be a good one. And one of the great things, if you think those teams are going to be in the mix down in the end with Ohio State and some other programs, Northern Michigan, it's nice to be able to see these two teams play now and then see them again later in the year. That's something that I know Ron Mason always appreciated when he was coaching the Spartans, and I certainly buy into that myself. Anyway, moving along, Mike, what are you looking at here this week?
First off, I think I called it when I said RIT would have more wins by October 20th than Minnesota and Denver combined. And I did say that, didn't
I? I don't think we got that on tape.
Wow. I think that was a technical error. You should have been rolling on that. You know, Notre Dame plays Colorado College this weekend in Colorado Springs, and you know, obviously we're excited because it's an ESPNU game, the first ESPNU game, and with Inside College Hockey having an affiliation with ESPN, you know, we've played a very minor role in their broadcasts and their season to come. But it, you know, in kind of the prep work for this game, it stumbled upon a very interesting note last night. Jeff Jackson, obviously the new coach at Notre Dame, coached at Lake Superior State, where he was very successful, won two national championships. His volunteer assistant coach at Notre Dame is Jim Montgomery, the same Jim Montgomery, mind you, that scored three third-period goals against Lake Superior State in the 93 NCAA championship game to lead Maine to their first-ever title. Jeff Jackson, the coach of that team, that Lake Superior State team in 93, hired the guy that beat him to be his volunteer assistant coach.
I wouldn't pay him either.
Jim Montgomery must have an outstanding resume. That's all I've got to say. That takes some cojones. Hats off to Jeff Jackson.
That's funny.
If those guys can have the success that they had at Lake Superior in Maine, then Notre Dame will be sitting pretty. But, Joe, what do you got for us?
Just a hats off, I think, from this end. A lot of new coaches on the college hockey landscape, and starting to pick up their first victories. Bob Motzko at St. Cloud State with a 3-2 win at Northern Michigan on Saturday night. A very impressive win there. Mark Dennehy at Merrimack got a 3-2 win also on the road at Bowling Green. And Canisius Dave Smith 2 weeks ago over Robert Morris. And Jim Rock at Lake Superior State, a very impressive weekend with a tie and win against Colgate. So kudos to those guys and their new programs. Also, for St. Cloud State fans, a reminder that Saturday night is Craig Dahl Appreciation Night.
That's not a joke, folks. That's not a joke.
It's really happening.
I'm just laughing at... Fill in your own joke for that one.
All right,
every
folks,
night was Craig Dahl Appreciation Night.
The sound of the Bud song in the background means that we're about wrapped up. It's also, we're hitting about the 22-minute mark, so we've taken longer of your time than we wanted, but we hope you enjoyed it. Check in on Thursday if you're listening before then. We're going to have Brett Sterling on the show on ESPN.com, and subscribe on iTunes to this. You'll get it every week on your iPod, or just listen on InsideCollegeHockey.com. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, guys.